Nice to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Glad you're along today as we visit with Dick Zondag, president of the Jung Seed Company of Randolph, Wisconsin. The Jung Seed Company is celebrating 100 years of operation this year. And so we're really pleased to have Dick with us today, and we'll talk about the company itself. And certainly he will be more than happy to answer questions you have about your houseplants or about the vegetable garden and the seeds and everything else you need to order. And he'll be doing that throughout the program today until 12:30. One of the master gardeners of Wisconsin Public Radio is Jim Packard, and Jim is joining us now. And Jim, a little bit of work to do today.
We've got to rake the soil and start some seeds and get this drive going here today to reach our goal, which is $8,000 for this first hour. And so we have a ways to go, and we would like to invite you to join Wisconsin Public Radio right now with your pledge at 800-383-9772. We have a Jung Centennial Cookbook by Dick Zondag and all of the employees of Jung Seed over the years, company picnics and things like that. They have submitted recipes and put together the Centennial Cookbook. It's really hundreds of recipes, from appetizers and beverages to soups and salads, vegetables and side dishes, and we'll get into the rest of that as we go along. And I know that your mouth is going to be watering before we're finished here, because these recipes are very appetizing. And so we would be pleased to send this Jung Centennial Cookbook for a pledge of $100. If you do go with another $20 and pledge at the $120 level, we would include the member benefit card from Wisconsin Public Radio, which entitles you to 2-for-1 dining and 2-for-1 admission to various cultural attractions around Wisconsin. So that's on the plate today. Or, of course, you can join Larry on the big cruise. That all starts with a pledge at 800-383-9772 or at WPR.org.
We would love to see about 100 of those $120 or even $100 contributions during the program today, because you're going to love the book. There are 260 pages, I think, of recipes, with some pages with several recipes, two or three on a page. Mm-hmm. So you're right, Jim. There are hundreds of recipes in here. And these are time-tested favorites as well. We'll be asking Dick about that a little later on. But I know many of them, as you said, come from company picnics that have been a real staple. And the recipes, I've had a chance to look at them. They're wonderful. So you can help us out here at Wisconsin Public Radio, support programs like the program we're doing today with Dick. He's done a wonderful job over the years bringing us a lot of great gardening information. And have a copy of the book, and for $120, we'll send you the member benefit card. And Jim mentioned the
Cruise of Ideas.
Cruise of Ideas, yes. Myself, Gene Faraca, and Joy Cardine will be taking off from the pier on Lake Monona on June 30th at, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. I'm not sure as to the time. We'll get you that information. And we'll have lunch on the boat. We'll have a reception at my home afterwards. Renee, my wife, will be preparing some wonderful desserts, and that's for a $1,200 contribution, and we'll send you a pair of tickets. And tickets have been going pretty well, Jim, and we still have a few left.
We're very with the way the tickets have been flying, and so if you'd like to reserve your spot on the boat, then give us a call with your pledge of $1,200 at 800-383-9772 or go to WPR.org. We do have an $8,000 goal for this hour, and we've got the first $240 in, so let's get your call.
And there, that $240 came from two people. I'll bet they each contributed $120, and they will be receiving the Jung Centennial Cookbook, and they will also receive the member benefit card. How about you? If you have not contributed yet, maybe you're a first-time contributor, now would be a wonderful time for you to call in at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org, and we will be happy to send you a copy of the book. We'll be happy to know that you've joined the gang at Wisconsin Public Radio and that you're a member of the paying club here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Another contribution just came in for $100. So there's somebody who said, I'll take that cookbook home with me too, and I'll be supporting Wisconsin Public Radio at the same time. 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. And there's somewhat a limited number of these cookbooks, too. That's why I mentioned 100 or so, because once they're gone, they're gone. That's all there is to that. 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. Appreciate your contributions and appreciate having Dick Zondag with us. Dick, welcome.
Thank you, Larry.
A real pleasure to have you with us today. And get, you know, 100 years is hard to believe, is that from your point of view, I'll bet?
Yeah, it's a great milestone. I can't imagine that Grandpa could have thought about reaching that milestone, but yeah, it's just been a very growing thing. You know, we have customers that are also third and fourth generation customers too. Mm-hmm. In fact, I had a letter from a lady this morning who graduated with my dad and has been a customer for many, many years. And I knew the lady, you know, when we were kids, we used to have picnics together. But, you know, we're getting all kinds of letters and cards and people writing a little bit on their order about how they've been marketing or been gardening with Jung products for years and years and years. And that kind of makes you feel good because, you know, Grandpa's formula when he started was give people a good deal for what they're buying. Maybe not the cheapest thing, but, you know, when you buy stuff from Jung's, you know you get your money's worth. And that's been a good formula all the way through. And so, you know, now that we have the five garden centers and multiple catalogs, we're still trying to keep that tradition going.
And you started, your grandpa started with a small plot of land, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he actually was the from a family of 10 kids, and his job was to work the garden. And he always credited his mother for teaching him how to grow seeds. In the late 1800s, you know, the part of the garden was used for growing produce, and part of it was used for growing seed for the next year because there weren't a lot of seed companies or garden centers. You know, transportation wasn't that great, and, you know, you couldn't just order something through the mail even. You know, all the packages that went out by rail, and so people would grow not only the produce in their garden, but they'd grow seeds. And so Grandpa learned how to grow seeds from his mother, and from that started the business. He'd grow a little extra and peddle it by horseback in the area. And then when he graduated from Randolph High School, he went to Oshkosh Business School. And then when he was done there in 2 years, he apprenticed at a seed company in Rockford for a year. And 1907 came back to Randolph and started Jung Seed Company in earnest on the family farm.
And the rest is history. And now you send out, what is it, 8 million catalogs?
8 million catalogs, yeah.
Every year. I bet he'd really be pleased to know how things have continued to go and stay in the family.
Yes, I sure hope he would be, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, if you'd like to join in with a question for Dick here, we've got Jeff on the line. We'll go to Jeff in just a minute. But there's a line open for you at 1-800-642-1234, or if you're in Madison, reach us at 263-1890. And Jeff in Marshfield, you're up. Thanks for calling. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We've been a longtime listener and donate as well. So
that's wonderful.
Great show. My question is, I'm doing some grafting, and I'd like to get some Scion for apples in particular.
Okay.
And I wondered if you guys handle that at any of your stores?
I think if you were just looking for one or two scions of a variety, we could accommodate you. We've got trees there, and some of those trees have branches that we could take off. You want to get something pencil size or maybe just a little smaller than that. And are you familiar with grafting?
Yeah, I took a class last fall, and it was spring, I should say. It was really fun.
Oh,
yeah,
good
so,
for you.
You know, just go to the garden center in Stevens Point, tell them you talked to me, and if there's a variety that you want, we could probably give you something off of one of the trees that's there without damaging the tree.
Great.
That's
okay.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Thank you for calling. And we'll turn to Ron in Clear Lake next. Hi, Ron.
Hello, and I want to congratulate Young's on their anniversary. I've gotten a number of apple trees from over the years, and they've done well, including a snow apple. But I did want to ask him if they've ever considered bringing back the Red Delicious. I know it's not a usually popular tree anymore, but we have one that's done quite well.
Well, the problem with Red Delicious is that it's a very long maturing apple. And so unless we get a really nice fall, the apples never reach their maturity. You know, they never reach their full sweetness. And so I guess that's one of the reasons, because we try to handle things that grow in cold climates in short growing seasons, because the Delicious is one of the longer maturing apples. We've you know, we have had it in the past, but there again, the number of trees that we sell is quite a bit fewer because of that. And so, you know, there are a lot of really great apples out there, but the Delicious is one of them, especially if, I don't remember where you're from, but if you're not in the southern part of
Clear
the...
Clear Lake.
Yeah, if you're not in the southern part of the state, it's going to be hard to get good tasting delicious apple trees, or delicious apples every year.
Anything that's close to the Delicious in terms of taste,
well,
Dick?
Well, I mean, the Sweet 16, which is a variety that was developed in Minnesota, has a good sweet apple. I mean, the other problem with Delicious apples is they don't store very well, and so, you know, you almost have to use them right away. And it's you know, a very good eating apple, but... for cooking and for other purposes, it's marginal. So there are a lot of good apples out there beside Delicious. But I guess, you know, everybody loves a Delicious because, you know, when you go to the store, those are the ones that are really used there. But they're grown in Washington State, where they have a long growing season, and then they store them in controlled atmospheric storage so that the apples stay well. So the apples that you see in the store are have been stored in a way that you probably can't do in a homeowner situation.
Yeah. So, out of luck there, Ron. But
yeah,
there are
well,
some.
I must be bucking the trend because I'm in northern Wisconsin. But my biggest problem up here isn't so much the growing season as the frost. But thank you, and wish you continued success.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ron, for calling. And Margie in Mount Horeb, it's your turn. Hi, good morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad you all are there. We've been longtime contributors to public radio and television, and certainly hope that everyone who's listening gives you lots and lots of money so we can keep up all the good programming.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I have a question for you.
Sure.
We have these beautiful cedar trees that we got from Young, and we've had them about 12 years now.
Okay.
And they're growing beautifully.
Okay.
And when we had this last snowstorm, the deer decided that they were so gorgeous they would have munchies.
Okay.
They have eaten everything except the tops that they cannot reach.
Oh, boy.
Will they come back?
Evergreens lack the ability to sprout adventitious buds from old wood. And what I would recommend is they may not have eaten all of the wood that has that ability. So what I would do is...
Oh, they were careful.
Oh, they were.
They were very careful. I had little Christmas lights on them. They were went around the Christmas lights. There's not one that's burned out. And they managed to leave just a little bit of green here and there.
Well, what I would do is fertilize that with an evergreen fertilizer as soon as the ground thaws, because you want to give that plant everything possible so that they grow. And, you know, if there's some wood left there, there's probably a chance that it'll sprout, and over a couple of years it'll thicken up.
There's lots of wood. They just ate the green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on how far back they ate the green, because if it's just back to where you've got some of the more recent wood, there may be a chance that they'll sprout. I guess what I would do is, like I said, fertilize it, see once if you can get it growing, and then next fall, there are some deer repellents that you can spray with, but what you have to do is you have to wait until after the danger of rain is gone. I mean, you do it like in early December. And then you just fill the sprayer with warm water so that it doesn't freeze while you're spraying it. And then there are several of them. There's Repel, and there's Deer and Rabbit Chaser. There are several different ones.
You have one in particular that I get at the Young Garden Center in Madison that I love is in that deer off.
Right, deer
it
off is great.
Beautifully, but I didn't get out there this year.
You were naughty, Margie.
Yeah, and then put a little sticker with it too, because that'll also keep it from falling. You know, from rubbing off the trees. And if you do that, that'll stay away from it.
Okay.
It makes the whatever you spray with it bitter to their taste, and so they stay away from it. In fact, if you do it a couple of years, you actually teach them not to eat that, and so they may go to your neighbors and munch on theirs.
Well, you know, they've never bothered these cedar trees before. This is the first year, and I think it's probably because that's the only thing in the yard that I have not sprayed before. I spray everything else all the time.
Yeah. Well, they like cedar a lot.
Yeah,
they'll eat almost anything when they're hungry. So, you know, deer are sort of a pesky type thing.
Margie, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call very much. Dick Zondag, president of the Jung Seed Company of Randolph, Wisconsin. Our guest, I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking gardening and Jung Seed Company today with Dick Zondag, president of Jung Seed. Give us a call if you have a question or a comment for him at 1-800-642-1234, or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call. And again, we're talking not only the company itself, but certainly we've had some nice questions about trees and plants, and you can certainly join in with your questions in those areas at, again, 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. Dick, are there some new products out there, some new things out there that for this year that you're really kind of excited about as a grower yourself? And
actually, there are quite a few things. Most of the new items that are coming around are things that are for, like, perennial gardeners. The coneflowers, it seems like they've hybridized, they've inbred, they've crossbred, and they've taken species and crossed them, and they're coming up with some really unusual and actually very beautiful colors. You know, most of the coneflowers that you see are either the purple or the white, but now they have yellow and orange and pink, and so that a lot of the perennials. Of course, daylilies, you're always finding new daylilies. In the vegetable line, there are a few things coming on the market, but there's not as many new things coming on the market as there are. There seems to be a lot of new tomato varieties. Tomatoes, are, of course, the most popular of the vegetables that you have. And so, you know, you can grow tomatoes of almost any color, size, from very small to very large. And of course, tomatoes are really healthy for you, too. So, they're always something new.
Sharon and Shatek will give you a chance now. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning. I've got some new birch trees out. Clumps, actually.
Okay.
They're river birch, and they've been in the ground for 3 years.
How much?
Three, I think.
3 years? Okay.
Maybe only two. But they've never been pruned. You know, all the little scragglies?
Right.
I assume that this is the last day of the month I should do that, but can I do it now or in
March? Yes. Yeah, you have another, I don't know, 3 weeks, I would think. You don't want to wait too long to prune shade trees and trees, but you've got about 3 weeks to do it. And what you want to do with a birch tree, you know, birch is a tree that has a lot of character to it, because the branches kind of weep down, so you don't want to prune them up quite as high as you do a shade tree, because you like that look of the birch clump. So you want to maybe take the trunks up about 3 feet.
Okay.
And then you can thin out the top a little bit by taking the weaker wood out, and then fertilize the plant as soon as the ground has thawed and the excess moisture is moved away. And the place you want to fertilize trees is at the drip line of the tree. So if the canopy of the tree was an umbrella, where the water would come off the tree is where most of the feeder roots are. And so that's where you want to apply the fertilizer, not next to the trunk, because those roots keep going out farther, and the roots around the trunk will be quite large and will not be the ones that take in the fertilizer. So the drip line of the tree is where you should fertilize, from about two-thirds of the way from the trunk to the drip line to a third past it is the area where most of the feeder roots are. So
What do you use, like 10-10-10?
Well, you can use 10-10-10, but in most cases you just want to use a regular garden fertilizer. If you use too much nitrogen, they tend to grow too much, and especially into the fall. And if you fertilize them with a 10-10, you may encourage them to grow too long and not to go dormant. So for the most part, unless you know exactly what you want to fertilize with, just a regular garden fertilizer is what I'd recommend.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And let's go to Dwayne in South Dakota. Dwayne, hi.
Hey, how are we doing?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I got to use your catalog and get your seed out there. I just got to get it ordered here just in the next few days. Hey, our tomatoes, we had tomatoes, some plants that they just, they didn't rot, but they just spoiled on the, every tomato was just, I don't know how you'd say it, but they,
spot
were,
on
they
the
weren't
end
any good.
Yeah, I think probably what you have is a disease that's called blossom end rot. It's the opposite where the tomato is attached to the plant is the blossom end. That's where the blossom falls off. And that's usually a sign that there's not enough calcium in the soil. So what I would recommend doing is getting some, any kind of lime, you know, whether it's barnyard lime or whether it's gardening lime, and lime the soil in that area. And that should take care of that blossom end rot.
Another thing that I know you've talked about before on the program is just sort of the water. If you get extremes one way or the other, that can create problems too.
Right. So, you know, if you're getting to an extremely dry, hot time of the year, it'd probably be a good idea to water them. Like once a week is what you water as a rule. And when you water heavy, and then you let them dry out between watering. So, yeah, it could be the watering. And you have more problems with vegetables when you have too much water than when you don't have enough. So, but if you do get into a droughty period, it'd probably be good to just take a bucket full of water and just dump maybe a half a bucket full on each plant, and that way they'll have water for the next week or so.
Okay, thank you much.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Dwayne. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And we'll take some more. By the way, Dwayne was driving through.
Oh,
and
very
from,
good.
He's from South Dakota, but was driving through and listening on the radio, so the car radio. So that's great. Thanks for listening, Dwayne. Bev in Rockford, Illinois. Your turn. Hi, Bev.
Hi. I'm just so pleased. This is the first time I've ever called NPR, and I am so happy with Jung Seed Company. I don't order much, but I have gotten such good service and generosity. They send free packages of seeds, even though my order is tiny. But my call has to do with the 60 million catalogs sent out. And I'll be right up front. I'm a tree hugger. And I'm hoping that they go online, because with online, you can just access the things you're interested in, and then roam if you want to. Mm-hmm. I'm so pressed in time when I get on a computer, but it's even hard for me and slow for me to go through the catalog page by page. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at.
All right.
Well, it isn't 60 million, it's only 8 million, but that 8 million is divided up between 9 different catalogs. You know, we don't like to mail more catalogs than we have to either, because believe it or not, they cost us a lot of money. I mean, before a catalog gets into our customers' hands, it costs us about $1.25. And so, you know, we don't like to waste money any more than you like to hear we're cutting down trees to make catalogs. But, you know, that's our marketing vehicle. And, you know, as you talked about the Internet, it's very important to us, too, because, in fact, within another 2 weeks, we're hoping to launch our new Internet site. We're hoping... you know, we're doing the final testing on it now, but we've rewritten our Internet site so that it's more robust and it has more information and everything else in it. But you're right, the Internet is a great tool, and there are a lot of people that like to shop on the Internet. And so, you know, we are spending resources to use that as a tool for not only for... for people ordering online, but people that get our catalog can go online and order, you know, at our quick order form. So, we don't like to cut any more trees down than you like to have them cut down, but that's our bread and butter, I guess you'd say.
Thanks a lot, Bev, for calling. Appreciate it. And let's go to Bill in Madison next. Bill, hi to you. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I would like to know, and all of spring and summer coming up, the growing season, and my wife has a beautiful flower garden, but we have so much problem with the rabbit situation. Now, we do have fencing, but the fencing we have is kind of ugly. Now, is there anything on the market that can take care of these rascals that you would recommend?
I don't want to get in trouble here. There are repellents that you can spray, but the problem with flowers is every time the flowers grow, they grow beyond the repellents. And so, I mean, it's a great way to keep the rabbits out. But there, live traps is another thing that we sell where you can put carrots or whatever to attract the rabbits in, and then it traps them, and then you just... You know, haul them out. And I hate to say haul them out in the country because the last time I said that, somebody else called and said, we don't want your rabbits out in the country either. But, you know, if they are in your area, and with my own garden, I do some live trapping. And what I found was that, you know, after I trapped two or three of those rabbits and took them out and got, you know, let them go out in the country, that when that trap was in the garden, the rabbits went to my neighbors and ate their garden.
They recognize the trap.
Yeah. So maybe that's a way of discouraging them, you know, to trap a couple of them and release them out in the wild somewhere and then just leave that trap in a, you know, in a sort of an inconspicuous spot. And it seems like they know when there's a trap there. So,
they certainly know when there's a trap. I've used the Have a Heart trap, and all I catch is squirrels. And... of course, I let the squirrels go, and on occasion, very seldom, do I catch a rabbit.
What you have to use is rabbit food, you know, carrots and lettuce and things that a squirrel wouldn't normally eat.
Thanks a lot for calling. Good luck, Bill. Appreciate it very much. If you'd like to join in, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison at 263-1890. And while I'm at it, we're selling some of these cookbooks here that are going along with your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. Just let me remind you of that quickly, that for a $100 contribution, we'll send you a copy of the Jung's Centennial Cookbook, about 260 pages packed with hundreds of recipes, all tried and true recipes from the folks at Jung's. Many of the people who work there and the family members have put this together over time and are presenting it this year on the anniversary, their 100th anniversary as a business. And you can go online to to WPR.org online, WPR.org, or give us a call at 800-383-9772, 800-383-9772. For a $100 contribution, we'll send you a copy of the book. I'd add $20 and make it $120, and then you can also get our member benefit card and get the 2-for-1 dining across Wisconsin. That said, we'll take some more calls, and Steve in Oconomowoc, you are next. Hi, Steve.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for the show. It's great.
You bet.
I saw last year in the Jung catalog a planting guide called a template or something, and I meant to buy one, and I put that off too long, and I didn't get one. And I got the catalog this year again, hoping to find it, and it's not in there.
What you should do is call our customer service. You know, just use the 800 number and then ask for customer service. I'm not sure if we had any of those left or not. The reason that it was taken out of the catalog is one of two things. It either didn't sell, out it went, or it's no longer available. But we do, you know, with some of the products that we have in the catalog that are discontinued or that we no longer have, we have a few of those kicking around in the back room. And so just ask for customer service and just explain to them, and they may be able to find one of those or, you know.
Okay. Have you heard any feedback on that? Is it a good product?
Well, what it was a sort of a chart of what, you know, you put it down in an area, and it told you what to plant and in what to make, you know, things grow. We do have several perennial garden layouts in the catalog also.
Yeah,
I don't know what
I've tried those layouts. It doesn't give you any dimensions or anything, and I understand this template thing told you exactly where to put the plants.
Right.
In order to have a great-looking garden.
Yep.
That's what I would do is I would call customer service and see if they have any of those. You know, we've tried that from time to time, but the problem that we have is if we put the dimensions in, it doesn't always fit somebody's garden, you know. And so,
yeah.
You know, if it's a bed 6x8 or 8x10, people will have a garden 4x4 or 6x6, and it doesn't really work out. But I guess in the scheme of things, when we send things out, we put a lot of information on the packets or on the stuff that goes out, telling you about how far to plant them apart and, you know, whether they're sun or shade or, you know, whether they're tall or short, so that, you know, you want to put the tall things either in the middle or in the back, and then the medium-sized things in the mid-ground, and then the ground cover or the low-growing things in the front. So, and there are just a plethora of books out there. I know Melinda Meyer has written a lot of books for Wisconsin gardens that show, you know, different things that will grow in different areas and how you space them. So there's a lot of information out there. And so you just take a piece of paper and you know that most plants should be planted 2 to 3 feet apart unless they're a slower growing thing. And then you just keep, you know, by color or by texture, you know, and if you read the catalog, it'll tell you whether it's a perennial that you grow for the foliage or for the flowers. And if it is one for the flowers, when they bloom. And you design your garden that way.
Yeah. Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. Give them a call. Maybe there'll be another one sitting in the back.
Yeah, maybe there's some kicking in a warehouse somewhere.
In the warehouse somewhere. Thanks a lot for calling, Steve. Appreciate it. John in Black River Falls, it's your turn. Hi, John.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, raspberries. We have a place north of Stevens Point.
Okay.
And we had a family argument about how to put in a raspberry patch. And we came across something where people use like a cedar post, you know, with a nice finial, and then they can put a plant on either side, and then it isn't the old hedgerow type raspberry. And I'm wondering if you heard of that, and does it work well?
Okay, I think what you're talking about are the black raspberries, which are not the suckering type raspberries. The reds and the yellows come up from adventitious buds underneath the ground, and they grow 1 year and they fruit the second year, either in the fall or in the second year. And those you don't need to stake at all. But the black raspberries are rambling type, and what they do is they grow a large, long cane. And if you want them to reproduce, you put the tips of the canes in the ground and they'll root and grow again. But if you don't have a training system for them, they can, the vines or the bushes themselves can get 3 to 4 feet long.
Okay.
And so what a lot of people do is they'll put up a structure very similar to what you said with the cedar posts, and then they'll put wires, and then they have the raspberries grow up between the two wires. And then they cut them off at about 3 feet, and then they branch, and then the berries are much easier to pick, where if you just let them ramble on the ground, they become
right.
A real thicket. And black raspberries are really wicked, have really wicked thorns. And so
right.
In order to get at the fruit, you almost have to have gloves up to your armpits to get at them.
Okay.
So it's,
well, we prefer the red raspberry, but how high does that cane get, and could you recommend some that can take the, you know, they say it's zone 4, but
right, well,
every now and then
the red raspberries should be plenty hardy anywhere. And if you want the ever-bearing type, I would use Heritage. The two varieties that I like for the summer bearing would be Boyne and Latham, and they need no staking because they grow very erect. In fact, we have a nursery guide that we send out. The formula there is that you want to plant them about 18 inches to 2 feet apart, and then your bed should be about 3 feet wide when the plants are maturing. And as raspberries grow, they come up as a cane, and then the second year they're a fruiting cane, and then they die. But while they're fruiting, the next crop of canes is coming up between them. And so the culture is that when they're done fruiting, you go in and you prune the cane off right at the ground, and then the next year's fruit will have time to mature. So if you stop in at our garden center in Stevens Point, they have the raspberries there and the cultural information. And the one thing with raspberries is don't plant them too deep, because they're one of the few plants that you plant, if you plant them 6 inches deep, they don't grow 6 inches deeper than they should be. So,
could you plant them in a box type garden, or would they freeze out?
Yeah, I think a box type garden they wouldn't do very well in.
Okay.
Well, on the rabbits and deer, real quick, I've used a product called Plant Skid, and it's the only thing that I've ever used that works really well. But the deer just won't touch it. The rabbits won't touch it. SKYYD. I think it's blood based. And also to catch them live trap, you need the bigger trap, not the one with the picture of a rabbit on the box, but a picture of the raccoon.
Okay.
Because I ended up taking the rabbit one back and asking for a BB gun, went to Plan B, and then people told me to try the bigger one, and it worked a lot better. So I just wanted to pass that on. Thanks a lot.
Great. All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Fred in New Berlin, your turn. Hi, Fred.
Hi. Thank you for taking our call.
Sure.
My question is, we have a mystery with tomatoes.
Okay.
We'll plant tomatoes, the same kind, in the garden and on the patio. The ones in the garden, because there's a lot of shade, we have a very scrawny plant, but we do get a decent tomato. The ones on a patio, put in a large pot, a good 2-foot pot, two foot deep. They're beautiful plant, beautiful tomato, but the center core of the tomato stays green, and the area around the core stays hard.
Okay, it's a varietal problem. What you should be using is a patio-type tomato. And actually, we have a new one at the... Dig through the catalog and find that. That's, I think it's called Gramps or Granddaddy. Yeah, I think it's Granddaddy, and it's a determinate. You know, there's indeterminate, which means the plants grow and and get big, and an indeterminate or a determinate one. The size is determined. It's just a certain size, and those are the ones that you use in pots. And it seems to me Granddaddy is a new one that does very well. Now, I'll have to caution you, in pots, you don't want to over-fertilize tomatoes, because then they'll grow like crazy and they won't produce fruit. But I think that problem is a varietal problem, not a soil problem.
Because one year we used Big Boy and one year we used Wisconsin 55.
Yeah, they don't do well in a pot.
Yeah.
Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call, Fred. Dick Zondag, president of the Jung Seed Company of Randolph, Wisconsin. Our guest, I'm Larry Mueller. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking with Dick Zondag, president of the Jung Seed Company of Randolph, Wisconsin. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you listening in. Jim Packer joining us as well. And Jim, you know, Dick was talking about determinate varieties where there's a definite end goal, and we have a determinate goal here of $8,000 for this hour, but we have an indeterminate number of contributions that we're hoping for.
That's right, and so we're hoping that your contribution will lead others to do the same thing, and it's probably about halfway through the drive now, and time for you to make up your mind to give us a call with your pledge of financial support and join the Wisconsin Public Radio Association at 800-383-9772. Now, Dick's been with us over the years, and I don't know that he's ever been stumped. He sometimes has to sidestep a question and come up with an answer later, but he's never been stumped as far as I can tell. And we're having him here not on a Garden Talk day where you'd normally expect him, but because the thank you gift that we're offering is Jung's Centennial Cookbook, and it's a collection of favorite recipes handed down through generations of Jung family members and employees because they've been doing business for 100 years. And one of the things when you're out in the country in Randolph, Wisconsin, while you have a lot of company picnics, employees get together and they share their recipes, and so that collection has been put together into this book. I noticed that Dick has contributed slush for his first recipe, some frozen lemonade, orange, and of course a can of brandy, because this is Wisconsin, a couple of cans of water and some sugar, and you can make an ice cream drink out of this, I find, as well. So that's just one of hundreds of recipes. I mean, there's a section on beverages, and there's a section on main dishes and on desserts, and it has been an awful lot of fun to put this together. I noticed that there probably are a number of Hispanics working there, because you've got that sort of flavor in some of the recipes as well.
You know, the impetus to this cookbook was, any opportunity we have to have a potluck at Jung's, we do, and of course, everybody brings out their best, and so You know, we've thought about making a cookbook for years because this is not something that we just started doing, but we do it quite often. And so we had started it several times, but when we were doing our planning for the centennial, one of the people that works there said, I'll do it. I'll take it on my shoulders to get this cookbook together. And so there's 650 recipes in this cookbook. And you know, a lot of them are from family members. You know, Blitz Tortas in there. My grandmother used to make them. And, you know, that's an old recipe, and it's not an easy thing to make, but it's really good when you get done with it. And the brandy slush is the only recipe in the whole thing that has alcohol.
It has alcohol.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's something that we use a lot. We keep it in the freezer, and we, you know, we have some friends over. We have a brandy slush.
Pull out the slush.
All right. So there you can see heirloom recipes that are collected into this Centennial Cookbook, and they're available for a $100 pledge at 800-383-9772 or go to WPR.org. And, of course, if you go up $20, then you get the member benefit card as well, Larry.
That's exactly right. And I should also mention on the cookbook, one of the things I like, it's in a three-ring, a very nice hardcover three-ring notebook. And so you can actually take out, if you want to, take out the recipe that you're working on and pull it out and then just have it off to the side. And I notice how nice anyway that the book opens. And some of the cookbooks I have at home, I have to always put a lead weight or something on them to keep them open to the proper page, and that's not the case. So if you're interested in recipes like swamp salad or pizza soup or Wisconsin chili or Eat More Casserole or, let's see, Jiffy Twinkie Tort or Lightning Cake, those are some of the recipes that are found in the book. It's just yours for a $100 contribution. Or for $120, we'll send you the member benefit card at 1-800-383-9772. Or go online to WPR.org. Our callers, our helpers in Pledge Central are working hard, and it'll only take you a couple minutes to call in with your contribution. We've raised about $1,180 now, so we've got about $6,800 to go to reach our goal. I'd love to see 100 people call in with contributions of between $100 and $120. If we could do that, we more than best our goal for the hour. And you're helping out Wisconsin Public Radio at the same time. And I also want to mention the Cruise of Ideas, it's called, with myself and Gene Faraca and Joy Cardine on Lake Monona. I live on Lake Monona, as you may know, and the dock is within 100 yards or so of my house. So the boat will dock at the boat landing, and you will hop on with members of Wisconsin Public Radio, Gene and Joy and myself for sure, and some others as well. And we have 25 pairs of tickets, I believe, is what we've got. 25 pairs. Is
25
that
pairs, and how many do we have left? Do we have about half of them?
Yeah, I think we got about half. I'm not sure. I think we have about half left, so they're going fairly fast, fairly rapidly. That for a $1,200 contribution, for $1,200, we'll be happy to send you on that tour. We'll send you the cookbook, too, for that.
Absolutely.
You'll get the cookbook. You'll become a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle. You'll get the member benefit card. You'll get all those things with a $1,200 contribution. And we are going to have a lot of fun on that cruise. I can tell you that right now. The food is going to be great on the boat. I know that from last year. We did it once, one other time, and that was last year, and the food was great. Renee, I can guarantee you we'll make some excellent desserts for afterwards when the boat ride's over. It's off to Larry and Renee's, and desserts and a little wine and maybe some beer and some soft drinks and coffee. And
you're going to spill some secrets, I understand, Larry, about the backstage, that go on behind the scenes.
Behind
here
the scenes.
Wisconsin
there are
Radio.
Some behind-the-scenes events that go on here that you'd be raise the hair right on the back of your neck.
So if you want to be in that position, then why not join the cruise and jump aboard with your call at 800-383-9772 or go to WPR.org. It's safe and secure, and we do not rent, sell, trade, or swap any names. Those are kept privately. and no one takes them home at night. So you can rest assured that all of your information will be safe. We know that you listen to the program, and if you listen to the program, you rely on it. If it's a garden talk subject, you know, that affects so many people across the state, it's probably our most popular program that we do on a regular basis. And so if you appreciate the service and you like Larry's program, why not help support us? We have a goal of $8,000 to meet before noon, and we need your phone call to make sure that we'll hit that goal.
And I've just learned that we have a matching grant, dollar for dollar matching grant for the program as well. That is $2,500. I've just been told that.
So this first $2,500 will be matched and raised?
That's what I think.
Although
I understand.
There's recoiling in horror.
That may not be the case. That may not be the case.
We'll get that straightened away.
In the meantime, I want to tell you that we're at $6,700 to go to reach our goal, and we've got about 7 minutes to do it to reach our goal of $8,000. You can help us out with your contribution at 1-800-642-1234. Let's see. Terry and James in Glenwood City have called in with a contribution. And let's see. Adelheid in Soldiers Grove says it's her lifeline. Sherry and Marshall has called in with a contribution. How about you? If you've been thinking about contributing, this would be a wonderful time to do it. And really contribute not only for the book. You know, this is a wonderful cookbook that the Jung Company has put together. But I hope you'll contribute because you appreciate the programming that we have here between 11 and 12:30. We talk gardening a lot on this program. We talk wildlife. We talk money matters. We talk about your health. We go through a lot of topics building, you know, things that are rebuilding and repair. Lots of things that you can use in your daily life. And I know many people have contributed and have told me, you know, I saved so much money, or I had a guy email me once and said he was a biology teacher and was actually hadn't been feeling well for a long time, and he listened to my show and actually said he learned what was wrong with him based on this program, and so he was so happy to have, and went to the doctor, of course, after that, and in fact, that was right, and his condition was resolved. And so he gave a nice check. He said, boy, it was worth every penny to feel better. You will feel better, too, when you contribute at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. Do it right now. We've got this cookbook with appetizers and beverages, soups and salads, vegetables and side dishes, main dishes, breads and rolls, desserts, cookies and candy, and then a section called This and That. And the cool thing about it is, as Dick was mentioning earlier, a lot of these recipes came from the company Picnics. There's not just one at Jung's. There's several. And when people say, man, that's good, can I have that recipe? Those are the kinds of recipes that are in this cookbook. They're all tested and true, tried and true recipes. And you're going to enjoy going to them time after time after time. Give us a call at 1-800-383-9772. Go online to WPR.org. Pledge your support now. $100 will send you the cookbook. For $120, we'll also send you the member benefit card. And, of course, any amount is welcome. You know, if you want to contribute $50 or whatever, or if you want to contribute $2,000, that's fine, too, on either end here. But it's really important that you contribute whatever amount you can contribute.
If you listen to Larry's show on a regular basis, you know that it's the Wisconsin idea put into action, where we provide experts from all over the state on a variety of topics that fit your lifestyle. We just know that on Fridays it's going to be gardening, and we know that so many people are involved in gardening on some level. And we know that if it's food, that everyone else is interested along with that
yep.
As well, even if they don't garden. So we've got the best of both worlds here today. And it's just an example of the kind of programming that you can come to expect and to deliver on a daily basis here on Wisconsin Public Radio. If you appreciate that kind of service, you ought to know that your calls make up 30% of our program budget, which pays for our dues for National Public Radio to obtain the newscasts and Morning Edition and all of those other programs. So it's important that we hear from you. You're paying for the 800 service that enables our talk program. programs to operate. You're paying for the news bureaus around the state of Wisconsin. You're paying for the WPR.org that enables us to go online and provide information to you. So if you appreciate the service and you want to keep it that way, then give us a call with your financial support at 800-383-9772. If you pledge at the $100 level, we'll send you along a Jung Centennial Cookbook by Dick Zondag and the staff. If you pledge $120, we will also include the member benefit card as well. But it's 800-383-9772.
A couple of minutes yet to go to reach our goal of $8,000. You can help us out with your contribution right now. Dick will be with us through the show today, and after the news, we'll be back with Dick, and he'll have a chance to ask some more questions. I know we've got some good callers online. They'll be probably staying online, I'm sure, through the news. But for now, now's the time to call in. If you haven't called in with your contribution yet, now is the time to do it at 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Or go online to WPR.org. You're going to help us keep our programming going here, the high-quality programs you've come to expect on Wisconsin Public Radio. You'll feel good, we'll feel good, and we'll keep plugging away. Give us a call now, 1-800-383-9772, or online to WPR.org. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Dick Zondag, president of the Jung Seed Company of Randolph, Wisconsin, celebrating 100 years of operation. And I'll tell you what, we're having a lot of fun talking with him. If you have a question or comment for him, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in the Madison area at 263-1890. Give your call. We'll get you on the air here pretty quickly. Tom in Fenimore, thank you for waiting. Hello.
Thomas.
Thomas, hi.
Yeah, thank you. I have two willow trees that I planted 4 years ago.
Okay.
And they're now over 20 feet tall.
Okay.
And this spring and summer, they were infested with these little black bugs that they kind of look like blood when you smooch them. And I was just wondering if there's any harm to them and what they do in the trees and where they come from, because I didn't have them when I got the trees in here first. And also, this fall, the trees were infested with about three or four different kind of bees. One variety of them were black and white that I'd never seen before.
Yeah.
I wonder if you know anything about them.
Well, I don't know about the bees, but the insect is probably a green peach aphid. Aphids love willows, and the thing you want to do is make sure you clean up all the leaves and the grass around the tree, because some of them will overwinter as eggs around the tree, and then use a dormant spray on it as high as you can get. And if you can get out there with a hose, you get a hose end sprayer, that's probably the easiest thing. They're not going to injure the tree severely. I mean, it will slow it down because the aphids are eating the plant sap, but it's not going to kill the tree. But it does make it very unsightly. As far as the bees are concerned, I suppose they're finding spots where the willow has cracks in it where they can set up hives. Of course, the best bee killer is 7, but I really don't know what to tell you. I mean, I didn't know that they attracted bees, but
probably that could well not be causing any damage at
all.
No,
I'm sure it doesn't cause any damage.
Yeah. You might go online to the Insect Diagnostic Lab at the University of Wisconsin. Phil Pelletieri, who's a regular guest on the program. I was trying to remember a black and white bee, and I'm not picturing one, so... But I bet if you go to the University of Wisconsin Insect Diagnostic Lab online, and Phil, his email address is there, but also there are lots of pictures.
Sure.
And just go to bees and take a look and see what you can find there. Thanks a lot for calling, Thomas. Appreciate it. And Dennis in Blanchardville, it's your turn. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, how are you guys this morning?
Great. Thank you for calling.
Afternoon, I guess.
Yeah.
Just a question and a comment. A lot of the seed companies are starting to put on point of origins to the seeds you know, on garden seed in particular.
Right.
And I don't think I've seen it yet on Jung's, but I was just wondering where, you know, most of your seeds are coming from, because what I've noticed, I've planted over the last, and this has become a more of a problem, I would say, over the last, like, 5-6 years, where I plant a variety, an old favorite, and I plant, you know, expecting, you know, a fairly good yield from it. And I end up with, and I look at the seed package, and it says it's from Brazil or France or someplace, you know, out of the United States. And the it's just not the variety that is it's advertised, or the cultivar that it's advertised as, because I've been planting, you know, garden seed for over 50 years, you know, and I pretty much know what each one, what they taste like and what they do, and you can just tell. And then not only that, but the last couple of years I decided, in order to prove this to myself, I've planted the same variety at the same time in the same soil, and I've gotten a hold of some U.S. origin seed, and then I've planted some other seed that was from a foreign country. Planted it practically side by side, and I have noticed that the U.S. seed usually is acrid, but the foreign seed that is that I plant is something that I totally don't have a clue as to what it is.
Okay. We do sell seed that's grown all over the world. I mean, there are a lot of seeds that especially come from South America, because they have an opposite growing season. So, you know, we're in our winter, they're in their summer. And so if a seed company is short on some seed, they can send the seed to South America and get a second crop. What you'll find if you are a step behind where most seed companies are is that consolidation has taken place. A lot of seed, the smaller seed companies have been bought out by bigger ones, and they grow the seed where the seed gives them the best crop. Now, a lot of the seed comes from the West Coast. There's very little seed grown in the Midwest as far as garden seeds, because we just don't have a long enough growing season, and that's the problem with growing our own seed. We just don't have a long enough growing season to have good mature seed. But what we do is we get in seed samples from all over the world, and we test them to make sure that they do well. Now, as far as the difference between the open pollinated varieties, there each seed company will have their own strain, for instance, of a Detroit Dark Red. That's an open pollinated variety, and what they do is they maintain their own parent seed, and they go out and they select the seed that they think looks most like a Detroit Dark Red beet, and then they'll grow their next seed crop from that. So there are some seed companies that will have the same variety, but because it's an open pollinated and it's grown in a different area, they don't necessarily have the same parent seed. And, you know,
that's a great explanation.
I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, we don't grow any of our own seed. We have a few tomatoes and a couple of, just a few tomatoes that we grow ourselves. And we depend upon other people to produce our seeds. We do contract some of our seeds from West Coast producers, but some of the seeds we get come from overseas. A lot of it comes from China, because a lot of the handwork in cross-pollinating, the close handwork that you have to have when you're hybridizing a tomato or hybridizing a plant, it takes a lot of meticulous handwork. And first off, you know, it's a cost factor. I mean, you know, they have the labor force to do it there.
But you try to test many of your varieties to make sure that they grow well here.
And we are very, very picky about the seed producers that we use, because we want to make sure when we send out the Wayhead tomato, or we send out the Detroit Dark Red, or, you know, maybe one of the open pollinated, that they are true to kind.
Yeah. Dennis, I appreciate it very much, and that was interesting. I did not know how that whole process works, so I'm glad you asked the question, Dennis. Appreciate it. June in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, June.
Hi, thank you very much. I have a question about a Russian sage. I bought a small plant in the spring of 2005.
Okay.
I think it was probably 12 or 18 inches tall.
Okay.
And it did just wonderfully that summer. I think by the end of the summer it was up about 3 or 3.5 feet.
Right.
Stood nice and tall. And then last spring in 2006, it still was looking good, standing up straight. And then about the middle of June, I happened to notice it, and it had just, it was as if the center had collapsed, and it
yeah.
was just flopping down. What happened?
Yeah. What happened is the plant grew in size, and you got two or three or more main shoots coming out, and they pushed each other apart. Peroskia, or Russian sage, is a plant that grows 3 to 4 feet high. And the first year you didn't have that problem because it was a very small plant and only probably had one stalk coming up. Now, there are a couple things that you can do if you want to keep it from flopping too much. You can divide the plant, which means you take a shovel and you dig half of the perennial out and plant it somewhere else. Or what you can actually do is take a bamboo cane or a green cane and stick it right down in the middle of the plant. And then as the plant grows, take some masking tape. You know, twist thems work really well, but you have to make sure that you make a big loop because twist thems will girdle a plant. If you make it really close and as the cane grows in diameter, it'll girdle it. So somehow you have to attach it to that bamboo cane so that the cane actually gives it the support so it doesn't break down.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I think I'd prefer to divide the plant. Now, does that mean that I need to watch it more carefully so that when it's starting to grow, to make sure that there's just one leader?
One or two, yeah.
One or two.
That
okay.
would be another alternative to do some pruning of the plant as it's growing so that you don't have, you know, five or six shoots coming up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Peroskia tends to do that. Now, there are some dwarf forms of Peroskia, too, that don't get that 3 to 4 feet high. I think what's called little spire and I don't remember what the other one is, but we have that in our Roots and Rhizomes catalog. So if it isn't in the junk catalog, if you go to rootsandrhizomes.com, you'll find those dwarfer varieties in that catalog.
All right. Great. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call very much. Dick Zondag, president of the Jung Seed Company of Randolph, Wisconsin, our guest here on the Ideas Network. Jim Packer joining us again. Jim, we have yet another goal of $5,000 for this last half hour of the program, and we're underway. We've got $420 raised.
So we'd love to hear from you at 800-383-9772. With your pledge of financial support to Wisconsin Public Radio, whatever you can afford to pledge is an amount that would be just fine with us. And if you can afford $120, we would send you the member benefit card, which entitles you to two-for-one dining at over 250 restaurants in Wisconsin and Duluth and some neighboring cities. And also, two-for-one admission to various cultural attractions around the state. So it's a card that will enable you to recoup the amount of your investment and the amount of your pledge over the next year. We'll also send, of course, the Jung Centennial Cookbook by Dick Zondag and the staff. It's great recipes from your friends at Jung's. It's a collection of recipes from employees over the years who have been part of the company picnics, and they've contributed their traditional family recipes. These are, as Dick says, the best that you can find, because when you're putting out a recipe for your fellow employees, why, you know that it's got to be good, because you're going to hear about this in the break room later on. So why not take advantage of this and pick up your copy of Jung's Centennial Cookbook? It's only available now to you over the next 10 minutes, and you will help us meet our goal of $5,000 for this half hour. These are goals that are fixed to help us meet our program budget. 30% of the operating budget for Wisconsin Public Radio comes in phone calls, so we're paying for dues to NPR and for the 800 service that enables people to use this this program and the Wisconsin Public Radio service. We're paying for the ORG on the WPR.org, and so these are calls that are vital, they're important, and when you do, you'll have a tremendous sense of satisfaction. So if you could afford $120, that's $10 a month, and you can do this on the installment plan, call us at 800-383-9772 or go right to WPR.org.
And I do want to mention that we only have 13 pairs of tickets left for the cruise of ideas
For a $1,200 contribution, you can be one of the last 13 people to call in. $1,200 contribution. June 30th is the date that we'll be setting sail from Lake Monona with Joy Cardine, myself, and Gene Ferracca, and a big gang from Wisconsin Public Radio family of listeners. Lunch on the boat, reception at my home afterwards with Renee's yummy desserts. That's for a $1,200 contribution. So if you've been thinking about whether or not to do that, you might decide to act right about now, because we're down to 13 pairs at $1,200. But not everybody will be willing to get on the boat. And if you're not one of those, that's okay, too. You could join other callers who have called in with a contribution. Shirley in Nakusa listens all the time, she says. Twyla in Melrose is a rural carrier, and it keeps her company all day long. We get lots of mail from rural mail carriers who listen to Wisconsin Public Radio all day long, just like William in New Glarus loves WPR. It's always on in my house, he says, loves the news, the talk shows, and the music. My wife and I constantly have WPR on. What about you? If you listen during this program, I know that we try to provide information for you that you can use in your day-to-day life. Dick's given out a lot of great information today about the gardens, the seeds, the trees, and all kinds of plants. And if you enjoy that kind of programming, that's the kind of programming we try to provide every day here during the 11 to 12:30 time slot, be it the garden or be it wildlife or be it money matters or be it your health. Those are things that we try to give you during this time program. And if you've made some use of some of that information and you enjoy listening, maybe it was just for information, you haven't used it yet, now would be a good time to let us know that by calling in with a contribution at 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. We'd like to make our goal of $5,000. And, Jim, we've got about $4,000 to go.
We have about 650 recipes contained in Jung Centennial Cookbook, along with a section on cooking tips. For instance, I found out today that if you want a juicier hamburger, you add a little cold water to that beef before you grill.
Ah, that's one of the tips in the back.
Cup,
I saw that,
one
too.
1/2 cup of cold water to a pound of meat will give you a juicier hamburger that doesn't cost you anything more,
mm-hmm.
and will have, the people who are eating the burger saying, what a wonderful chef you are. That's one page. There's two pages on herbs and spices, basil to thyme, and we've got hints on baking breads and baking desserts. There's another page about vegetables and fruits, how to buy them, how to cook them, cooking times. There's two pages on folding napkins. I was talking to somebody last night who worked at a restaurant. They had to learn how to fold napkins. You could do that for the parties that you have at your house. Maybe there are special shields and rosettes and candles and fans and lilies. I had no idea about that either. And there's a great two pages on measurements and substitutions. My wife got mad at me for throwing away a page of those once because, whether a pinch is, what is a pinch, and the equivalency, whether you want to substitute and maybe use cornmeal or something else, why you've got an equivalency chart that's included, food quantities for preparing large amounts, microwave hints, and also a glossary of cooking terms so that if you don't know what to julienne is or if you don't know what to sauté is, it spells it out in there. So not only the recipes, but also this great section on cooking terms and aids as well included in that cookbook. And for $100, you can obtain your copy today when you pledge at 800-383-9772.
And it is... sorry, go ahead.
Or WPR.org.
And I want to say it's also the last chance to get the cookbook during our drive, because once 12:30 rolls around, that'll be kind of the end of it for the drive. So if you have yet to contribute, now is the time to join Shirley and Twyla and William and Terry and James and Cheryl and Marshall, people who have called in with contributions. What about you right now? And again, we're down to 13 pairs, did I say, of tickets for the cruise. If we had about three of those cruise tickets sold right now, we'd be right up to our goal, Jim, and that would be wonderful. I would like to do that, and I know that cruise is going to be a lot of fun. We'll give you the behind the scenes. You can ask any question you want, and we'll do our best to answer it. We're also going to have a little quiz, and we'll be giving prizes. I think virtually everybody there is going to win a prize of some sort. And the other day we gave out a little question that we're going to ask, which was, what was the first piece of music heard on Wisconsin Public Radio? What type of music? And I'll say that again. We'll tell it again for those of you who didn't hear it the other day. But the first music on Wisconsin Public Radio was Hawaiian music.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an answer to one of the questions. If you're the first one to raise your hand at my house, don't spill the wine while you're raising your hand. And don't drop the appetizers or the desserts, but you'll have a nice prize of some sort, probably a nice book or something.
A nice book would most likely be the prize. And we've set aside some great ones that have come in over the last year, and that'll be a part of the party that ensues when you make your reservation at 800-383-9772. We're just looking in the breads, pumpkin bread, applesauce, rye bread, banana bran muffins, edible flour and herb biscuits, easy cinnamon rolls, the things that you just take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
But where is that recipe? Well, it's all right here. Shoofly muffins, poppy seed bread, chocolate chip zucchini bread. You may have these recipes scattered around someplace, but not pulled together like you have here. So if you'd like to get your copy, give us a call right now at 800-383-9772 or go to WPR.org, make your pledge there.
And if you've never contributed before, I hope you'll call in with your contribution right now. We've got about, I think we have 11 new members who have contributed so far during the program,
mm-hmm.
who have never contributed before. Send the $100. We'll send you the Junk Centennial Cookbook. But I think the real gift here is Wisconsin Public Radio. At least we hope it is. That you enjoy the programming that you have. And maybe you've contributed in another hour. There's no reason why you couldn't add another $100 right now to the mix. Or maybe you're thinking about that $1,200 cruise. $100 a month. We'll get a chance to cruise with Joy and Gene and Faraka and myself. Maybe you've been thinking about that. The food's pretty darn good. There's fireworks afterwards. The Madison Rhythm and Booms fireworks display is the biggest one in the Midwest. Will be that evening, so you can dine with us and have a great time and then head on over to the park and watch the fireworks from Warner Park, isn't it?
It is indeed from Warner Park.
From Warner Park. But I tell you what. We need to hear from you now because there's about 2.5 minutes left in the program. Your last chance to receive the Jung Centennial Cookbook for that $100 contribution. I'd still add $20 to get the member benefit card for sure, because you're going to cover that $20 probably. And the first time you go out for dinner someplace, you're going to cover that $20 because it is 2-for-1 dining. But whatever the amount you can afford, we hope you'll call in right now before the program ends. Last chance to get the Junk Centennial Cookbook at a $100 contribution. And again, the number is 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org.
And we've got just about a minute and a half for you to make your call. So if you'd like to be counted among Larry's listeners and get your copy of Junk Centennial Cookbook and of the member benefit card, call with your $120 pledge at 800-383-9772.
It's easy, it's safe, it's secure. We don't sell or trade or use your name, give it to anybody else. I tell you what, it's very secure. So you're not going to be getting a whole bunch of calls from other people because you contributed to Wisconsin Public Radio. That's one thing that we definitely promise. We're down to the last minute and a half here. Your chance to call in at 1-800-383-9772, the last minute to get a copy of that Centennial Cookbook. I hope you'll do it. 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. When you do it, you're going to feel great knowing that you've helped Wisconsin Public Radio. And you're going to feel great knowing that you've let Dick Zondag know that you appreciate what he's done. Dick, thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Dick, appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
And thank you for listening. Stay with us.